So, kind of under the impressions of the start of the year, let's spend a few minutes here in James chapter 4. As we enter a new year, I think oftentimes we do what the world does. It's not a bad thing to think past life and perhaps make some plans for the future. But James writes here, chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "Come." You know, Isaiah says the same thing. He says, "Come and let us reason." In other words, he's telling us to stop and listen and think. "Come, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and we'll spend a year there and we will sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, because what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, then we shall live and do this or that.'" James is telling us that our life, our very breath, depends on God giving us the opportunity to take a breath. And sadly, most people that make resolutions for New Year's, they make them without even consulting God, without even thinking. Even more sad is the fact that many Christians, or people that call themselves Christians perhaps, and maybe aren't genuine Christians, but perhaps even we as Christians sometimes make plans, earthly plans, and leave God out of them. And James here is talking about a sin, and he calls this the sin of presumption, about assuming certain things that we have no control over. It is the sin of self-confident and boastful planning. And I know Paul touched on this when we went through James somewhat. But specifically, James here is talking about our lives. And it's necessary to have plans in our life. God is not against us planning our lives and leading an orderly life. In fact, in Romans, Paul writes that we are to subject ourselves to every ordinance of man, to all the laws, so that our life, in return, in exchange for what we give to society, then our life would be peaceable and quiet and godly. So it's wise to make certain plans, like, for example, college for you young people. The society we live in, it's very difficult to get a job and to keep a job and to make enough money to support yourself and your family if you don't have a good education. And so by contrast, if you make a decision to drop out of school, that will affect the rest of your life. So there are certain plans that are wise in your life and good to make. And God gives us the wisdom through His Word to think about these things. But obviously, the most important thing about the plans that we make in our life, if they really concern our spirituality, and we think about God being involved in them, then our plans need to center themselves around, as James writes here, the will of God, or what is pleasing to God. And so that our life, in turn, or rather than serving ourselves, would serve God. For example, perhaps God is calling you to be a doctor. And it's not a bad idea to be a doctor. But if you want to be a doctor for the purposes of having a certain lifestyle, then that is outside the will of God. But if perhaps God is calling you, He's giving you the wisdom to do certain things, for example, to be a brain surgeon, and to go to a place that doesn't have a brain surgeon within 100 or 200 or 500 miles and be able to serve people with your talents, or perhaps go overseas and dedicate your life as a missionary somewhere in the far reaches of the world. Now, that would be making plans and seeking God's will, whether He really wants you to do that, and then following through on that. Perhaps God would have you have a good education and a good job and maybe be a doctor and make a lot of money so you could simply support the local church in its missions and in its ministries and support yourself and your life and your wife and your children if you have them at the same time. So some of these times when we make these plans, they are good. But we have to make them in the context of what James says is our life. And he says the context of our life is the context of literally one breath. Our whole life consists of one breath. And even that one breath, you are unable to make or take that breath unless God gives it to you. If you've ever seen somebody on a ventilator, you know how the sight, just the sight of a person trying to take a breath without that machine. He's lifeless. Impossible. And so we think of our entire life within the context of one breath that God gives us, one after the other after the other. Then they accumulate and turn into days and weeks and months and years and decades and a lifetime. We have an example here of a man that made some plants. He made some good plants. He was a good businessman. Notice, first of all, that he had a plan. He planned his business. He had a specific idea. And he had a time frame. Whenever we make plans, they need to fit into a time frame. And this man had a plan. He had a plan. It says today or tomorrow. He wasn't putting things off till next year. He said, now I have to be busy, and God does want us to work. So he did have a good plan. Secondly, he wasn't selfish. He included other people in his plan. He said, let us go. He wasn't just doing it for himself. He wanted to include his family or his business partners with him. Thirdly, he had a specific endeavor in mind and a time frame. He says, we're going to do this for 1 year. Let's go try this thing. That's pretty good. That's a good business plan. He had a time frame. He knew what he was going to do. He had specific activities. He drew up a master business plan. They were going to buy and they were going to sell. This was good. This was profitable. He would be able to support himself, maybe support his church or the missions, although this person here doesn't appear to be a church or a godly-fearing person. So he had a business plan. He had a time frame today or tomorrow. He included others in his plans. He had a specific time frame, 1 year. He had activities buying and planning and selling. And he even anticipated what would happen as a result of his work. He would make profit. And aren't we here in life to make a profit? But Jesus said, what profit is it to you if you make all the profit in the world but you lose your soul? Instead, let your profits be stored up in heaven. And sadly, this man had a good plan. But out of the middle of his plan, he left God out of it. That was the sin that James talks about here, of presuming that he would live a whole year and that his business would be successful and would give him profit. And it was all of his effort that was going to produce this rather than God giving him a breath and God giving him food to eat to have strength. And his brain to work normally, to have this plan, and to be able to travel to the city, and to live there, and to work hard, and to plan to include God in this. He didn't consider God. He was self-willed rather than wanting to do what God wanted him to do. The Bible talks about this sin of pride. It was the first sin. It was a sin that Satan sinned. Pride. And self-confidence and boasting was the sin that Satan had. We read about it in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. Satan said, I will 5 times. It was his will rather than God's will. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne higher than the stars of God. I will sit higher in the congregation than the farthest north. I will be like God. He did not consider what God said. God said, from up here, from on high, where you're trying to come, you will be brought low. And the expression in Hebrew is, you will go from the highest to the lowest. From the splendors of being in the presence of God to being eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. And those people that make plans without God face the same future as Satan did or does. The second thing we see here is that how frail we are. Our life consists of one breath. Psalm 90 says our days are 70 or 80 years. And God has made an appointment. He knows the day of our death. He knows how many days and how many breaths we will take. Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow because you do not know what today will bring. And here he is thinking about tomorrow. It's not bad to have plans if they include God at the center of them. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, only God knows the future. So we can seek to live for God's glory, knowing that He will direct our future. Psalm 90 goes on to say that if we recognize that our life is short, that we on average live 70 or 80 years, then the writer of Psalm 90 says, teach us to evaluate our days. I think the King James says, teach us to number our days. See, if we knew how many days we had, we could count them. If we knew we had 364 days left, or 360, and then we would die, we would begin to number them. But the psalm says, we do not know how many days we have, and so teach us and give us the wisdom to live today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day. Teach us to number all of our days that we would live wisely. The third thought here is the question of how we are to live our lives. Verse 15 says, since we don't know what tomorrow brings, since we don't know how healthy we will be or unhealthy we will be, instead, he says, you should say, if it is the Lord's will. It's good to have plans. Even Jesus had plans. But you know, when Jesus came to earth, he came to do the will of his Father. That was his plan. And even when he was going to the cross, having lived a holy, sinless life, he bows down and he's on his knees praying, and his sweat is like blood, and he is praying to God that God would give him the strength to follow through with the will of the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. When we talk about plans, remember God talked about the ant and the grasshopper and praises the ant for preparing for wintertime, and a grasshopper did not. If you remember Moses had a plan to lead Israel through the wilderness into the promised land, out of Egypt and to there. You know, we're going through Joshua Sunday mornings right now. Joshua had a plan. It was God's plan. But he was following God's plan to lead the people into the land and conquer it. Paul had plans. Every epistle he writes, he says, I pray to God, if it is his will, that I could come to you to share the word. So Paul, in his prayers and in his plans, always included God in the Word. God's will for us is the Great Commission. Of course, God's will for the world is that through the Great Commission, people would hear the gospel and come to know Jesus Christ. It is God's will that people be saved. Once saved for us, it is God's will that we live holy, godly lives. We've talked about the will of God before. God wants us and wills for us to be thankful, to be holy, to be joyful, to always be in prayer. This is the will of God for you. And so as we start this year, and we could talk a lot more about this, but I'd just like to have us consider, if we're going to make a resolution like Jonathan Edwards did, to make his resolution to live every moment to the fullest for the Lord, to include him in our plans, to have Paul's attitude, to have James' attitude, and to seek God's direction in our life about even the smallest details of everything we do so that he would be pleased in what we do as we live our lives for him. May God bless his word. Amen.